number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime. This is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
An interesting story coming out by the NFL. Remember that Al Jazeera report? Yeah, I know. I had to look it up too. The one that Peyton Manning was fighting, and the one where they had this documentary and accused Manning, among others, of using PEDs, and that whole story. And we tried to process that, and then it got recanted. Yeah, that mess. You remember that, right? Well, apparently it's rearing its ugly head again, as the documentary cited five NFL players, including Manning, and now the NFL wants to investigate whether or not those particular players have a link to performance-enhancing drugs. Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, Mike Neal, James Harrison, and, of course, Peyton Manning. But this is just the tip of the iceberg of a very, very interesting webbed story, because if you are the NFL, you have this obligation to sort of protect the game. You have this obligation to make sure that the game is clean. You have this obligation to take reports and look at them and do something with them, because you just can't let accusations of performance-enhancing drugs just float around in your league. But at the same time, should we just believe any old organization, any old time they want to throw out a name? Al Jazeera America, this documentary had a guy in it that recanted some of his stories, and yet for the NFL to say we're still going to look into this puts the cloud of doubt on top of these players. It adds already to the sort of suspicion that this documentary drummed up in the first place. Now, if you're the NFL, you have two ways you can go about when it comes to PED use. One, you can say, look, we test for it, and when we see something that is in our tests that indicate that there is use, that is when we will act. But we as an organization cannot under any circumstances be putting together investigation teams when any news organization accuses one of our players of being associated with performance-enhancing drugs. As much as we want the game to be clean, as much as we want the cheaters out of the game, as much as we want people to be punished if they do this to our game, we just don't have the time or the resources to be going, gee, another report, this time out of Seattle, let's send the unit out there. And all of a sudden it's like Criminal Minds, where they just hop on the G5 and fly to different NFL cities and start investigating and start asking questions. You think the NFL is going to be able to get real information on this? Do you think the NFL is going to be able, without subpoena power, is it going to be able to just walk into associates' doors and start knocking and start asking questions about players and their relationships? I mean, you think the NCAA takes forever to come down on like a Reggie Bush situation? How long do you think the NFL is going to take in its investigation? Player A gets accused by television station in local area of using performance-enhancing drugs, having a tie to a steroid dealer. All of a sudden, the NFL's going to send the Z team out there by jet, start asking questions, start digging around. What, are they going to start knocking on doors? You will talk to us, Mrs. Greer. I tell you right now, before we leave, you will be talking to us. I don't know what you're talking about. We'll get it out of you. I swear to God, we'll get out of you. We won't leave this town. We will turn up every rock. We will make sure you and all your people and all your people will tell us exactly what we need to know before we leave this city. Is that what we're going to get with the National Football League? Why don't you just test? And then when the tests are dirty, then you start looking into stuff. But Al Jazeera, now, again, I kind of had to be reminded of what this documentary was really all about today, because it was one of those stories that kind of came, it hung around for a little bit, and then it disappeared. And a lot of the reason it disappeared was because, again, the person that they interviewed in the documentary, which I haven't seen, the full disclosure there, recanted his story. I think this is going to be interesting, because the NFL, again, has this PR light that they have to shine. Because remember, once the Indianapolis Colts accused the New England Patriots of deflating footballs, all hell broke loose in the NFL. And the National Football League lost its mind with that issue. And this was deflated footballs. This was, yeah, the football doesn't feel quite inflated. They spent millions of dollars, did all sorts of interviews, put out a Wells report that didn't even have real solid smoking gun evidence, and then still suspended Tom Brady on the evidence behind the report that wasn't even there to begin with. I mean, it was a botched deal from day one. Now we're expected, that organization that couldn't close a deal with the Ted Wells report on Deflategate, to all of a sudden go to Clay Matthews and the people around him and start digging dirt on him as to whether or not he did performance enhancing drugs because a documentary said so? This is interesting, folks. This is interesting. Now, the Players Association is fighting this like you would not believe, and I don't blame them. This is something the league can't have and the Players Association can't have. And now the NFL is citing, hey, we have a shared responsibility union on this investigation and to clean up our game. And while the cause is noble, right, that it's noble to get cheaters out of a game. It is noble to want to rid your sport of steroids. It is noble to want to rid your sport of performance-enhancing drugs and the people that do them. You want to be on the up and up on that. We're talking about integrity, and integrity is one of the most important things a sports organization can have. But the way you go about doing this and the parameters in which you go about doing this is questionable. And not only questionable, it's ludicrous that they would put together an investigation team. What, are they going to hire 10 people? They're all going to sit around in the room and wait till the bat signal lights up? Oh, Channel 5 out in Los Angeles has got a report on two Rams players to wheels up at 6. Is that what we're going to do? I swear that's the only thing I can come up with. That is the only reasonable explanation for this in terms of where this is going to lead. I'm not even going crazy with the slippery slope here. If you do this because Al Jazeera said so, what are you going to do when some investigative reporter in Kansas City digs something up? You got to give that full boat too. And you know how we are with websites and blogs? Oh my God. Some guy in a basement is going to absolutely tear down his local NFL team? Citing what? Remember, the guy in the documentary recanted some of his story. Yet the NFL is still going to look into this, including Manning, who's retired. And they said, you know, if we find the evidence, we're going to suspend these guys. Find the evidence? I thought the evidence was there. I mean, why would you be? Why? So now we're going to start digging. James Harrison, by the way, of the Pittsburgh Steelers, livid. As well as a number of other players. I don't know if you are Julius Peppers, if you are Mike Neal, if you are Harrison, Matthews, or Manning, do you do this? Do you talk to them? Do you clear your name? Because this is a double-edged sword. It really is. If you participate in it, you set the precedent that everyone needs to participate in it. If you hide behind the union, then that doesn't look good either. This is just a mess. And and here's the other thing about this story. It's not all over the place yet. ProFootballTalk.com has been all over it, but very few other media outlets are jumping into the ramifications of this. But I find it interesting. I hope you do too, because this is something I think I'm going to be paying attention to. We'll talk about different angles on this throughout the night, including Peyton Manning. What would you do if you were Peyton Manning? Would you actually participate in this and a chance to set the story straight? Or would you think it's nonsense, and since you are out of the game, you'll just let that die its slow death? 800-777-2907. 800-777-2907. Hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio as well. We've got Dave Brown joining us from Vice Sports. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball. I don't know, we're about 75 games in. Not exactly at the halfway point yet, but we're almost there as the All-Star game is creeping up on us. Some teams that have started to separate themselves from the pack. We'll ask how good the Indians are. We'll ask how good the Rangers are. We'll take a look at the Cubs, even though they're on a slide. Is there some vulnerability there? Dave Brown will talk Major League Baseball coming up at the bottom of the hour. I also need to get to, and this is, again, walking in an area that I don't know much about, but I feel like I need to walk that anyway, Iceland. the country of Iceland, with about the population the size of Wichita, Kansas, I read today, beat mighty, mighty England 2-1 at the Euro tournament. I know, you soccer people are rolling your eyes right now. I was like, he doesn't even know what it is. Okay, somebody explain to me how the hell that happened. 800-777-2907. We'll talk about that. And should the NFL be investigating every single PED report? Now that I've laid that out for you, your thoughts as NFL fans, do you want the Keystone Cops running this show? Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, even I knew Iceland over England was a big deal. All right, and I'm not even a big soccer guy. Listen, when I say that, it sounds like I am a soccer guy, just not a big one. This Iceland thing is crazy. This is a country, again, the size of Wichita, Kansas. They said 10% of the population is in France for this tournament to cheer on their country. And they just knocked off England 2-1. They send England home out of this tournament, and the manager for the English team resigned because of losing to Iceland. I mean, this is nuts. This is nuts. And it goes back to a point I made a long time ago about this. All right, so here's little Iceland. They've got, what, 300,000 people, and yet somehow produced a team that can do well in this tournament. I'd like to see us start doing well in having these kind of moments. It's just me. I know, you know, Copa America getting to the semifinals is a big deal. And I heard, you know, about my aggravation with Team USA last week from the soccer fans that said I was a little too harsh. Fine, I'm a little too harsh. But look, for the country of Iceland, this has got to be fantastic. This has got to be fantastic. And I mean, I don't even know how to equate this. I mean, is it like Miracle on Ice, I guess? I don't know. Beating England sounds like a pretty big deal. And the funny thing is that don't get Iceland confused with Iceland, right? They're not Eskimos, right? It's a very beautiful country. Now, my cousin was just there a week or so ago. The pictures are gorgeous. It's a really gorgeous country. And yet now they're superstar international soccer country that's captivating the world with its spunky style. You know what's going to happen, Adam. You know what's going to happen. If they win this thing or come close to winning this thing, Disney executives are going to be writing the movie.
Oh, 100%.
They're
just,
you know,
licking their chops.
And they'll probably do it all wrong, too. They'll probably have them in Iceland, like on ice, right, trying to kick a soccer ball, right? Because, you know, like, that's Greenland. Greenland is the iceberg country.
Yeah,
Iceland is gorgeous.
They're opposite. Yeah, they should just switch names.
Disney will screw it up. They'll make it like, in a land where ice and snow reign, a soccer country emerged, the feel-good hit of the summer. Well, then they'll have
them, like, avoiding polar bears.
Yeah, exactly. Like, kicking soccer balls around polar bears, right? Like, it's, you know, 35 degrees below zero. A guy, you know, falls into the icy river. You know, they just don't know what they're doing. There's, like, an old grizzled coach, like Burt Reynolds, is, like, trying to teach him how to play. You can't use your hands. Like, you can't use your hands. And then at the end, he's giving some emotional speech, like, boys, we're going to go to Europe. We're going to give it everything we got. You'll never see a place like that. The crowds, the history, all the big job that you'll have, but you'll come through. And then there'll be dramatic music, and they'll go to France, and they'll win the big game. And there'll be a fat guy on the team, and there'll be another guy who's got a love interest with some girl that works at the Eskimo store. That's how they'll do it. They'll do the whole movie wrong. But this is a really good story.
I saw a tweet today just mentioning the fact that England has the team that spends the most money in the world in soccer, and they can't beat Iceland.
They can't beat Iceland.
Every soccer tweet I saw today was just talking about how England always chokes. And I don't know. I mean, maybe they do.
I don't either.
Maybe they do. Every tournament they're in, they choke. I'm not sure. But that's all everyone's saying. Chokers, chokers. I'm just like, okay. Sure.
Hey, this is movie time. Movie time. They're writing the movie on the ice, especially if they either come close to winning it all or fall just a little bit short.
I just love the fact that The England coach was like, okay, I'm done after this.
That's it.
Messi was like, oh, I missed that kick. I'm done. I'm like, I'm retiring.
I know. What is wrong?
What do soccer players or coaches do that they lose and they're just like, I'm out?
This is Homer Simpson had the best line for advice for people when he told Bart in an episode one time. He said, Bart, if something's too hard, quit. Like, that's apparently the advice that soccer has been using forever. Messi's like, four finals, I can't get it done, I'm out. Really? Really? LeBron's been to six NBA finals in a row. If he would have lost, if he had lost this one, you think next year he would have been like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I might as well just go play for Philadelphia. Really? You're going to quit because you lost four finals? I said yesterday, though, I didn't believe it. I thought it was emotional. I thought Messi was just doing the Messi thing after you lose a big game. Come on. They're going to quit. Play. Then I heard some guy on television tonight say, well, you know, Messi's just not, it's a different type of game, international soccer. Really? Really? My head exploded when I heard that. What, are the balls with needles on them? Is the grass, like, poisonous? How is it different in international soccer compared to when he's in Barcelona? Is the field twice as big? Is there double the players on the field? It seems like the same game to me. Yeah, Messi quits after four finals losses. Oh, I'm so glad we have him to look up to. Oh, yeah, darling, don't worry. If you lose, just stop playing. Why not? Messi does it. And this guy from England. Yeah, I can. I lost to Iceland. Maybe he believes the scrutiny when he gets home will just be too bad. After all, they're not in the European Union anymore. Maybe he'll get home and everyone will just want his head on a platter. So he's like, I'll save you the trouble. I quit. When the going gets tough, walk away. Don't bother anymore. I still can't believe Messi's going to quit. I mean, when the World Cup comes around, he's going to go, nope, no, I can't. I just too many losses. I can't. Well, Messi, it's the World Cup. It's the World Cup. No. It hurts too much. I can't do it. God. But then again, you know what? In our country, we've got NBA players going, nah, I don't want to go to the Olympics. Nah, I don't want to do that. Golfers, like, oh, God, I don't want to go there. I ain't doing that. So I don't know. Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe it's not the same thing. I don't know. Good story, though. Iceland beating England 2-1. 800-777-2907. Dave Brown, Vice Sports. We'll talk Major League Baseball. I find this NFL story fascinating. It's going to be one of my top topics tonight. I think it's fascinating. The idea that the NFL hears this report from Al Jazeera, five players. The documentary is scrutinized. One of the pieces of evidence gets recanted, and still the NFL feels like it needs to do this thorough investigation on it. Even though none of the players have a positive test, they just have this accusation by a news agency, and now they're opening up the floodgates for this kind of stuff to go on all the time. All the time. And you know what's going to happen. Look, news agencies would love to crack a player down for breaking, you know, getting involved in steroids. Somebody would love to do some investigative journalism on that. Take a lead and run with it. But if you're the NFL, apparently any lead is a good lead, and any lead deserves investigation. And anytime anybody brings up any player's name in association with PEDs, well, my God, we better look into it. Holy mackerel. I think it opens up a bad can of worms. I think if you're the league, have a plan. Look, we test. We catch players when they test positive. We suspend players when they test positive. But if you're News Channel 5, and you're doing an investigative report and you uncover something, you better have evidence. Because if you don't have evidence, and we're not going to look into it, but if you're just throwing an accusation out there, we will ignore it. And I think people will genuinely be cool about that. Where do we stand about halfway in Major League Baseball? Dave Brown will give us the lowdown. How good are the Indians? They just won 10 in a row. The Rangers have a double-digit lead in their division. Are the Cubs vulnerable at all? And how about the Giants? We'll get to all of that coming up next. It's Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. All right, let's get you caught up in Major League Baseball. We're a couple of games away from the All-Star break, and then we're going to hit the stretch towards the latter part of the season. Where do we stand right now after about 75 games or so? Dave Brown joins us by sports.com. Help us look at MLB. How are you, Dave?
Hey, I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, I want to start with the Cleveland Indians. They have won 10 straight after beating the Atlanta Braves on Monday. The Indians, tell me how good this team is. Tell me why they'll be continue to be successful.
I liked the Indians last year, and they were really disappointing. And it was the reason I liked it was because of their starting pitching. They Danny Salazar and Carlos Carrasco and Corey Kluber. That's about as good a 1-2-3 as you're going to find most places in the majors. And now Trevor Bauer has started to pitch well, too. And the difference between this year and last year for them is they're getting a lot more consistent hitting from their lineup. They made a couple of changes, and although they could probably still use a few pieces here or there, the offense is good enough. The end of the bullpen has been very good, and the starting pitching has been some of the best in the majors. So I think that the Indians are in a good position in the AL Central, and they would be in a good position to win games in the playoffs because of the hit-and-miss stuff they have from guys in their rotation and at the end of the bullpen. So and Terry Francona is a steadying hand. He's been through it before, so I think they have a lot going for him.
They're the only team in that division that has a positive run differential. Is that surprising?
Maybe a little. So many things went right the last couple of years for the Royals that you had to figure that maybe their offense would take a little bit of a step back. And, of course, it has a little bit, and they've had some injury problems as well. And their starting pitching has not been as good as it has been in the most recent past. And the bullpen has not been quite as locked down as before. So yeah, you look at that, and then you look at some of the other problems that the other teams have. I mean, the Tigers have been playing better lately. They have a really good lineup, but some pitching holes, mostly in the bullpen, as Tigers fans will tell you. And, you know, the White Sox just have had so many holes in their lineup. Rick Hahn did a pretty good job adding a piece here or there, but their lineup is still so bad. And then they're starting pitching after the first three guys has been so inconsistent that, you know, I guess wouldn't to make a short question into a long answer there. You know, it is and it isn't too surprising that the Indians are the team with the good run differential going on right now.
The Boston Red Sox have lost three in a row. They still have an offense that's, you know, produced over 400 runs, but the pitching has been terrible. I mean, how mission critical is it for the Red Sox to sort of get that shored up for the playoffs, if they even make the playoffs?
Right. You know, they're still in pretty good shape, but they have been playing lousy for their standards for a while, more than a little bit of a slump. It's been maybe a month or so of just kind of disconcerting baseball. And, you know, like you say, they're pitching, and we knew coming into the season that their, at least the starting pitching, wasn't going to be as good as, you know, maybe some teams that have made the playoffs in recent years. It's, you know, and David Price has had some issues, and Rick Porcello has been okay. Clay Buchholz has been a disaster. And the saving grace has been Stephen Wright, the knuckleballer. He's been easily their best pitcher so far. And the Red Sox have had a pretty good bullpen. So you know, I think their problems are fixable. They certainly have parts that they could deal young players in the minor leagues and depth that they could turn into some pitching fortifications. And, you know, I don't think that the situation is desperate just because of how much time is left, but you know, they definitely have an offensive juggernaut of a team, and if they were to be able to add one or two really good pitching spots to shore up that part of the game, you know, you're looking at one of the best teams in the league. So it is a matter of acquiring those things, though, and Dave Dombrowski is going to have to do it.
Dave Brown joins us via sports.com here on Yahoo Sports Radio talking about Major League Baseball. What has been the most impressive thing about the Texas Rangers, who have a double-digit lead in the West?
I think that they've been able to do this without having Yu Darvish at full strength. They got him back, you know, a while ago, and he's had some neck spasms and some other minor injuries coming off his big, you know, UCL reconstruction. And Not having him be at 100% and only now getting Cole Hamels really pitching as well as he can, as everybody thought he could. You know, I think the Rangers just, they have a lot of depth, and they have a really good offensive club. The end of the bullpen had a little bit of a problem at the beginning of the season with Tolleson, but, you know, they have depth there. They've lost some pitchers, though. You know, the Rangers have been able to, with Adrian Beltre and Elvis Andrus being kind of the venerable veteran guys, just sort of been able to maximize what they have. And they, you know, Jeff Bannister's a guy who has the guys believing, and he's been a good manager for them. And I think the most impressive thing about them is they still have so many things that could, so many parts that could be playing better, and they're still, you know, kind of maximizing their wins and losses. So they're in a good spot. I think, you know, Seattle had a nice beginning of the season, but I don't see them contending the rest of the way. And of course the Angels are really bad, and the A's are in rebuilding here. So I think they're, the Rangers are in good shape to continue to kind of run away with things.
Yeah, I know it's a long season, and we do go, even the better teams go through a lot of ebb and flows, but the Cubs had lost 5-6 of 7 before beating the Reds tonight with Chris Bryant's 3 home runs. Are we seeing a little vulnerability with the Cubs, or is this just one of those ebb and flows that all teams go through?
I tend to think it's a little bit of an ebb and flow thing. You know, there aren't too many baseball teams in the history that he knows that were capable of playing at the pace that the Cubs were for 162 games. You know, being a 115 win team, it's just those things hardly ever happen. You know, the Cubs are legit. You know, they do have some of the best depth in the league. You know, Jake Arrieta got hit around again in his most recent start, so against the Reds. So he says it's not anything, you know, it's not an injury issue or anything like that. It's just a matter of him not hitting his spots. So I think with Chris Bryant hitting 3 home runs and 2 doubles in the game, I mean, they just have kind of an endless, you know, supply of offense. And they just brought up Wilson Contreras, the catcher, and sometimes they play him in other positions because his bat has been so good. So the Cubs are in, you know, as good a shape as they've been, I think, in anybody's lifetime that's possibly listening right now. I mean, they're legitimately good. Everybody's vulnerable. Everybody has weaknesses. You know, it's not, you know, no curse is over until they, you know, they actually go out and win. But as far as being in great shape, the Cubs are as good a shape as anybody.
The San Francisco Giants lead out the West. And is this a different-looking team, or is it the same formula that had them winning 3 World Series titles?
They're a similar formula. You know, they've had an offense that's performed better, but, you know, with Hunter Pence sort of making the engine that makes it go, being on the bench because of an injury, that's sort of, maybe you have to dial back a little bit your expectations for the Giants. Samardzija got hit around tonight against the A's, but he's been pretty good, and Cueto has been an excellent addition. You know, they're still relying on pitching and a pretty deep lineup to get, you know, a little bit, just enough offense here and there. And I think the Giants can be, you know, in position again. It's an even number year, so they're in position as far as that stuff goes.
Yeah.
To be one of the better teams. I think that the Dodgers have been so dysfunctional, and but their best baseball is probably ahead of them. So I would expect the Dodgers to at least challenge the Giants a little bit here in the NL West. But I think those two teams clearly are playoff teams at this point.
Dave Brown, Vice Sports. We go around Major League Baseball. Appreciate your time tonight and insight. Great stuff.
No problem. Thanks.
All right, so there we go around Major League Baseball. Again, 75 games into the season so far. We're hitting the All-Star break. And like I said, the teams to watch out for: Cleveland's won 10 straight. The Rangers have a double-digit lead. The San Francisco Giants, and I know a lot of people who are on the East Coast and don't really pay attention to what goes on in the American League and the National League West, but the San Francisco Giants have a very good record and are playing very good. And again, because it's an even year, watch out for them in the World Series. All right, coming up next, I still have uncomfortable with technology. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the Third Shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Good to be here at Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us. Again, we're getting in more and more info and different angles to the NFL PED story that's coming out. We're going to touch on more on it in the next hour. Jason Cole's going to join us from Bleacher Report. We'll give his take on that. If you're Peyton Manning, what do you do if they come knocking at your door? You're retired. You're not getting suspended or anything like that. Do you feel like you could use that opportunity to clear your name? Or do you say, this is hogwash, and I'm not going to give it the time of day? 800-777-2907. Or hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Again, don't forget, like our Facebook page, Tony D Radio Show. July 25th is when we start our countdown to kickoff. We're still taking Twitter votes for the team that we should do first right out of the gate. If you want to give us your thoughts on that, we'd love to take your opinion on which team we should start off with. 32 shows, 32 previews, all the way to the start of the NFL season. That kicks off on July 25th, no pun intended. All right, so last week I told you that I was going to New York City with my family, and I was riding the New Jersey train in, and that my wife had used an app on my phone to buy my train tickets. And then told me, oh, when you get to the train station, your tickets are right on this phone. Just activate the tickets on your phone and you'll be good to go. Well, I sort of wanted to fight that technology because I'm more of a paper person. I don't like tickets on my phone. I like tickets in hand. I know it's a big risk and I know I'm a dinosaur and I get all of that. But I'm more of a ticket in hand guy than ticket on my phone. So, excuse me. I went down to the train station on a Friday afternoon, had my kids in tow. And before I left the house, I double checked my phone to make sure that the tickets were on my phone, just like she said. And sure enough, they were. So now the way the New Jersey Transit app works is you get the tickets and then you have to, you activate the tickets so that the tickets then have a certain time limit that you have to use them for. And then if you don't use them, in that time limit, you lose them for good. But if you buy tickets and you don't activate them and you miss the train or something came up, you can use those tickets for another trip. So you don't want to activate the tickets until you either get to the train, to the station, or at least on the train when the conductor comes around to take it. So activating the tickets at my house did me no good. I didn't know if there was going to be traffic on the way to the station, if we were going to miss the train, all of that good stuff. So anyway, I drive down to the train station and we park the car and I got to get a parking ticket. So I pay a buck or buck or two to get the parking ticket and I put that on there. I look at the time. I'm about 2 or 3 minutes away from the train coming if it's on time. I go to my phone to activate the tickets and the phone says, the app says, log in. And I said, wait, this didn't happen before. I got the tickets right away. I saw the tickets right away. Now it's asking me to sign in with my username and password. Well, I didn't sign up for the app. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a very complex password that I use for everything. It's got lowercase, it's got numbers, it's like a code, and I swear it would make no sense to you if you saw it, but it makes sense to me, and I have it memorized and been using it for years. But even my wife doesn't remember it. So my wife uses simplistic passwords, my kid's birthday and all, you know whatever. So I didn't know what she used for the password. So I can't log in. I can't log in to get my tickets. It just says, so I try different passwords. And it keeps saying username or password incorrect. So I start frantically calling my wife. And then she says, oh, I think I used this. So I try that. I can't log in. The train is coming. I can hear the train coming, and I can't log into the application. So I try it again. Nothing. My wife goes on the website. She's trying to access the website through me from a computer. Again, the train is coming, and I have no tickets. The ticket booth is right next to me. I am very close to grabbing my credit card, running to the machine, and buying 3 tickets right away. But I'm holding on to technology because this is the wave of the future. I can't log in. Try again. I can't log in. Finally, the train comes. And I say to my wife says to me, I said, honey, the train's here. I don't know what to do. I can't log on to this app. My tickets are on the app. I can't. I freak out. I'm like a little kid. My wife goes, don't worry. You should have the receipt in your email Don't worry. Just show them the receipt. Tell them you can't log on to the app. Just show them the receipt. They're not going to throw you off the train. I said, oh, okay. I go to my email. No receipt. No email receipt. I had deleted it. So I go through my, I'm going through my delete files. I have a ton of them, and it's sorted by date. And I mean, it's just a mess. So I said to my wife, I said, can you log on to my email? I said, I've got to get on the train. Can you log on to my email? Put the receipt back in my inbox. She goes, yeah, all right, fine. And she's really, at this point, she's upset at me because I shouldn't have deleted the email. But I deleted the email because I hate technology. I get on the train. My heart is racing. Now, it's not that I don't think they're going to kick me off the train, but I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I'm on the train with two kids. I got no ticket. Train goes. Conductor's coming around. Punch, 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 punch. You know, the people with the paper tickets. Punch, 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 punch. Gets up to me. I said, hi. I said, this app doesn't work, and I don't know what to do with the tickets. I can't get onto my tickets. I said, here's my email. I show the receipt. He literally looks down at the phone for half a second and goes, all right, good. And I go, oh, really?
All that for nothing?
I go, oh, really? It's, at this point, I wanted to stand up and go, really? It's good? Really? You looked at that for a half a second. So anyway, I go, okay. So I'm still fuddling with the app while we're traveling and traveling. I finally get to log in. I finally activate the tickets. The conductor comes around again with some new people on the train. I go, excuse me, I have the tickets. They're activated. And he goes, yeah, don't worry. I believed you the first time. That is how my day went. Heart through the roof, sweating like a pig, all four. Nah, it's all good.
You should try it again next time.
Yeah, no kidding. My day. Yahoo Sports Radio.